This is attorney David Famininio. The best way to protect ourselves from an accident is to be informed. That's why we started David's Driving Edge, to provide tips and resources to keep us all safe on the road. Go to getdavidgetpaid.com/drivingedge for more information.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
97-1 the ticket. Rico Beard, Jeff Rieger. That was Rico yesterday. I fought him. I screamed at him. I yelled at him. I tried to knock some sense into him. And he's right, at least according to a couple of Tiger Beat writers. Rico, how the hell are you? Doing a little victory lap. I called you today. I was at my kid's swim practice.
Okay, first of all.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just not working.
You want to switch mics?
No, I'll do it in the next break. No victory lap is needed. Sometimes, Jeff, you just have to see things for what they are. And if you look at the Tigers and you look how they're doing business, even though they're in the middle of this 1-10 losing streak, and they're still ahead of schedule. They still believe in what they have for the future. They love the players that they have now. They're not willing to part with any of these big-time prospects because – in their mind, I feel like their plan is working. It's a slow burn, but it's burning well for them. It's going exactly as planned. As a matter of fact, you can make the argument it's ahead of schedule. Now, is that your schedule? It is not. So no victory lap needed. It's just this is what I saw.
Take the victory lap, Rico. Go around the studio.
You know what? This guy's acting like he's right all the time.
It's not a victory lap. It's just, I told you, I wanted to be wrong. I wanted you to be wrong. I have to say this carefully. It's not the same fire and intensity as you see in New York and in LA.
Well, New York made a move.
Where this is a team that believes, you know what? If we get a World Series, great. But we want to really build this up to be competitors for a long time and not just 1 year.
So what changed since we were last on the air? First of all, Evan Petzold comes out with an article from the Free Press. Big splash coming, question mark. No, Detroit Tigers expected to take conservative approach at trade deadline. Cody Stavenhagen from The Athletic wrote a very similar piece. Now, what I can tell you
they did not call me, by the way.
They didn't call you?
No, they talked to Scott Harris.
Well,
Scott were talking the other day.
Well, I know. He's your neighbor, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
You see him when he's walking his dog and his new kid.
It's like, Scotty!
It was the first game of a homestand. Scott Harris does do these off-the-record conversations with the beat writers. By my understanding, yesterday was one of them. So he gathers the beat writers together. He tells them what he wants them to know. They don't quote him, and they write these stories. So that's where they're getting this information, right from Scott Harris. He's doing one of two things. He's either trying to prepare you that he ain't going to do much, that they're going to stick with what they got, that they're going to promote guys from the minors, that they're going to try to duplicate pitching chaos in that crazy run they went on last year, or he's trying to over-deliver. Understate it all and over deliver. Like, just because he says he's not going to get rid of a top five prospect to the media doesn't mean that's actually the case.
Okay, but Rieger,
and Tiger fans would be pretty giddy if he did so.
Okay, now this is hopium for you. Okay,
no, I'm just saying it's one of two things.
It's hopium.
It's either fact or he's trying
fact. Like, every GM and president in this town they're telling you what they're going to do. We just don't want to believe them. We keep thinking, no. There's a plot twist like some M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's not. It's exactly what they say it is.
Also, what's happened since we've been on the air? Arizona traded Josh Naylor, who used to be a Guardian. He's now a Mariner. That's a first baseman with an 800 OPS. also what's happened. The New York Yankees called up the Colorado Rockies and said, we need a third baseman. We need Ryan McMahon. And they gave up two prospects. One was the eighth prospect. One was the 21st prospect. So they didn't give up a ton. And I think the Tigers could make a move like that. Also, apparently the Yankees are still interested in Eugenio Suarez, also a third baseman. We're led to believe that the Tigers are interested as well, but they're not going to give up the farm. What we found out from these couple articles is Mr. Conservative Scott Harris, and whether he is conservative and he doesn't want to give up his prospects and he thinks the future's down the road, or whether he surprises everybody and we're all happy on July 31st, what I can tell you, if this is how it seems like it is, it's unacceptable. You're not in first place by 8 games very often. You haven't won a World Series in 41 years. Your job as the POBO, the president of baseball ops, is to help the current team, which is currently scuffling.
Right.
If he turns his back on this team, if he doesn't make a big swing, if it's because simply he doesn't want to give up his prospects, he's not doing his job, and it's unacceptable. Rieger, it's unforgivable.
Rieger, wow.
It is. To not help out a team that potentially could win a World Series.
Or Rieger, maybe he really believes in his team and says, you know what? This is the aberration. We all kept saying back in May, and oh, just trust me, the Tigers are going to hit a losing streak. Well, guess what, folks? They're in the middle of a losing streak. It's not time to panic. And I don't think that Scott Harris and the Tigers management are panicking. They're looking at this as, okay, it sucks right now, but we'll figure this thing out. I still believe our players can win games, because these same players in the middle of this 1-10 losing streak are the same ones that got you that far.
I agree with you, but everybody upgrades at the deadlines. If you're serious about trying to win a World Series, spare me the, well, our window is big. No, it's not. Scooble goes away after next year. If you're serious about winning a World Series, you upgrade. You say F them prospects. If you're serious, if he doesn't do that simply because he's afraid to trade his prospects because he thinks they're going to be great 1 year, he's not serious. Your job is to improve the current Major League Baseball team, and you're in a great spot. You're still 8 games up for first place. So, yes, it's inexcusable,
Rieger,
if he goes about his business this way.
I don't think it's inexcusable, because this team is not built for a win at all at all costs right now. It's not that type of team,
but
Jeff.
But, Rico, you're wrong simply to the point of what we all say. Once you get into the postseason, anything can happen. Make sure to upgrade your team to the point that once you're in the second season, you got the ability to kick a little ass. Now, the articles, both of them do say, expect a reliever of some sort.
And that's what I said, you'll get an arm. You'll get a middle reliever arm, an extra arm to come out of the bullpen.
So you good with this?
It's not that, Rieger, no. But then again, there's no one thing that they need that will fix them. They're beyond just a starting pitcher. They're beyond just a right-handed bat. They are beyond just a lights-out closer.
That doesn't mean you don't try.
They need a bunch. So if you need a bunch, maybe you just go with the guys that you have. You bring in. This is what I said. I saw this. Like,
I got you. But
the
listen,
worst thing that happened was this losing streak, because now you're like, wow, maybe this is, we're not as good as we thought we were.
Are they broken to the point of no repair? Answer that question. Okay. This is still the team that got them to, at one point, the majority of the season, the best record in baseball, correct?
Right.
Okay, eventually the confidence will come back, the mojo will come back. They're not going to be this dog poop forever. We agree.
Right.
Okay, so when that comes, you better have upgraded some of the spots to give yourself the best chance. Every team has flaws. So to sit punt the deadline is inexcusable.
Right, but in their mind, they're thinking, okay, well, maybe Carpenter will be one of our upgrades. They're looking at the long term. They want long term success. Okay. That's just my opinion. That's how I see things. This team wasn't that successful that long ago. And now, you know what? Kind of feels good to be sitting in first class. I'd like to stay in first class.
The long term success is such a scam. The long term success is, well, we just don't want to do anything right now. Look at Mike Elias and the Orioles last year. He didn't want to part ways with Coby Mayo, who stinks, or Jackson Holliday, so he did not. And now look at the Orioles. They're dog poop. They're selling at the deadline. They're garbage. They just lost a series to the Guardians. Point is, we don't know what happens next year. You better strike now. And the fact that we're led to believe that he doesn't intend to is unacceptable. I'm curious where the people are at. 248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. Do you got a problem with this? Now, Rico doesn't like it, but I despise
I don't have the problem.
I hate this.
I'm not on you where you're just calling for pitchforks and torches outside
it's
of Comerica Park.
It's unforgivable. You can't get
Rieger,
to this point in the season and do
place.
Nothing.
You're
so what?
You're still in first place,
and this
Jeff.
Is where you both. I don't know. The Yankees are trying to get back to first place. They made a move. The Mariners trying to make the postseason. They made a move.
Okay, but the Yankees have shown they're willing to use the payroll. They're willing to do whatever it takes.
As should
this
you
This team
be.
Doesn't do that. Their payroll is not up there with the other teams,
There's
Rieger.
Two things. You look at the Yankees and Ryan McMahon. They didn't give away a top five prospect, right?
Right.
The Tigers have better secondary non-top five prospects than other teams do. So that's number one. So they still have more to give. Second of all, it is, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but it is the dumbest thing to think about when you're like, well, you know, we don't think we can win the World Series, so we're just not going to try. Every team is flawed. We've gone through this entire season with saying Tigers could be the best in the American League. Well, the best team in the AL gets to go to the World Series. Like, if this is how he approaches this job, I can't forgive it. And it's a massive black mark on his resume to me. Now, it hasn't happened yet. Maybe he just wants to prepare us for it to happen, and then he over-delivers. But this, if it goes down like this, is truly awful. Awful. And I'm furious. Now, I know you're not.
I'm not.
It's unacceptable. Tiger fans have been waiting way too long to get to this point in the season. And what? You're slumping? So now you're going to punt the deadline? This is your chance to get better. Prospects are just that. They're prospects. Max Clark might suck.
He was never going to break character.
Kevin Nagatogal might blow.
He was never going to break character. He does things a certain way. Every GM, every president does things certain ways. This is not how he gets it done. He's looking at the long term, Rieger.
All right, we'll get to the calls. 248-539-9797. Are you good with this? Are you good with this way of thinking? Rico's not, but he's not as angry as I am.
I've accepted it. Yeah.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, 97 won the ticket. Couple of articles in our local news saying the Tigers don't plan to be very conservative at the trade deadline, which is a week from yesterday. How you feel about that? 248-539-9797. Here's their plan, by the way. The plan is they're going to try to do what they did last year. They're going to try to duplicate pitching chaos. So instead of going out and getting high leverage relievers, and they probably will at least get one, they're still buyers to some sort. They're going to bring up some guys from the minors, have Chris Fetter work with them, and hopefully it turns into a Sean Gunther or a Brennan Hanafy or a Bo Brisky. So they're going to take that approach, and they've already started that. And then, by all accounts, they are still interested in Eugenio Suarez. But this is the line that really got me in this entire article. Yeah, they want Suarez. And by all accounts, I don't think they'd have to give up a top five prospect for Suarez. And maybe teams are asking for them and not getting them. So when they circle back and talk to the Tigers, maybe they still could get Suarez, a rental. But they make the point. If they got Suarez, they don't want him blocking anybody. Like a Zach McKinstry or Javi Baez or Matt Vierling or anybody playing third base. That's why you wouldn't get a guy you don't want to. Haven't we been through this? Or Colt Keith. That's why you would punt on a chance to get a Suarez, because you don't want to block anybody. I got news for you. Everybody I just mentioned can play elsewhere. And that's what's good about this team, the flexibility, and AJ will put you anywhere. So it's not a bad thing to have an everyday third baseman. It really isn't. Call me crazy. Call me traditional. I'm very angry, Rico.
You are. Rieger, you got to let this go. 248-539-9797. Are you as angry as Jeff Rieger right now? I'm not. I don't agree with it, but I see where they're going with this, Rieger. And you know what? Like it or not, it's working for them. They're ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I don't care.
They got a young team. They got payroll that they can control. Their biggest worry is where school will going to be in 2 years. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you really
if they really want to go all in, they got the money to pay him because, hell, you're not paying anybody else.
But you're really making the most of this Scooble window if you choose at the deadline to do nothing, aren't you? You're really making Scooble happy. How? Why would Tarek want to stay here? Hey, you know what? It was the trade deadline of 2025, and Scott Harris decided to punt it. I'm glad to be leaving. Maybe that's what Scooble's thinking. Let's go to Mark. You're on the ticket. What's up, Mark?
Yeah, guys, I totally disagree with everybody. The spigot just doesn't shut off like that. All you got to do is watch how these guys play. I mean, their heads are not with it at all. They're not hustling. Their heads are not with it. I think something happened in the clubhouse, either between the players and or between the players and the front office. And I think it's with the front office. I think the players found out long before we found out that they were not serious about getting to the World Series.
Oh.
And I think that just took the wind right out of their sails. And, I mean, you just got to look at the way they're playing. I mean, the spigot just doesn't shut off like that. They had the best record in baseball, and now they're playing like their heads are in outer space.
Mark, I just want to make sure I got this right. It's like a conspiracy theory. You're saying the players got wind that the Tigers had no intention of buying at the deadline to try to win a World Series, so they just kind of gave up?
Absolutely.
I don't know if I buy that.
I believe that they didn't want that the front office was not going to give up any of their quote unquote their guys to go for the World Series. You've got 2 years. You've got arguably the best pitcher in baseball, and you've got 2 years to go for the World Series, and you're not going to do it. You're not going to look at that seriously.
Well, you also have a team that is playing like crap, and what better thing to do than to send a message, make a trade, tell them you still believe in them, bring in a guy that can help, like Rico. Say whatever you want about this team and what they're doing right now and what they did before. I truly believe they're missing a guy that can pick up the weight of the pressure when stuff like now is going on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they don't have that veteran that's been through it.
No, you don't have that. And that's where you like to have a star on your team. That person who can rally the troops and say, guys, we're still good. We can still win. You got a bunch of young players. So that's why... It's frustrating, but yeah, I guess it would be Javi. I guess he's the guy that would rally the troops and say, hey, I've been there before.
Right. Labor.
Right. But it's, I don't see that one person. And I don't think that they see that person that, you know what? If we get this guy, we're going to turn it around and we'll be back and we'll be better.
I'm looking at this ticket text. It says Rico and Rieger. Jeff, you always go off on these tangents over something hasn't even happened yet. Them freep writers, well, it was only one freep writer, who doesn't have any idea what Scott Harris is going to do. Take a breath, Mike and Fenton. Well, they did talk to Scott Harris. These articles are coming from Scott Harris. Scott told them this. Now, whether he's lying to them, that's a possibility. Whether he wants to set everybody's expectations really low and then just blow them out of the water by doing all this amazing things, maybe. But yesterday, they had a meeting with Scott Harris. And thus, that's why these articles are written. It's not their opinion. It's what Scott told them. There's no quotes because it's off the record. But it doesn't mean you can't use the general information.
Right. Yeah, coaches play. I mean, a lot of people do this a lot of times where they say things and you just got to parse it.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I know where this came
right.
from.
Or they'll flat out tell you what's going on, but they don't want to be quoted.
Correct.
Hey, listen, here's what's going on. You didn't get it from me. Don't quote me. Use it as your opinion.
Right.
Leland did that all the time. George, you're on the ticket. What's up, George?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
Hey, George.
Good. How are you?
Good. Unfortunately, Rico's correct on this, and it's not about blocking. It's not about a plan. It's not about anything. What it's about is reality. The reality is this team is at least six players short of any type of contention. They need two arms in the bullpen. They need two arms in the starting rotation.
Wow.
And they need two bats. Casey Mize has had a great 2.5 months, but we're forgetting about the 5 years that he sucked or had injury problems. 2.5 years is an aberration. Our shortstop is having 2.5 good months. We're forgetting about the 4 years of suck. He's having an aberration now, not the 4 years. Torkelson, same exact thing. Carpenter, he can't stay healthy unless he's in a vacuum in an emergency room. Maybe then he could stay healthy. The reality is this team is playing so above their actual skill level, and we've drunk all the Kool-Aid, and our expectations are totally warped. They're not ready for this.
So, George, don't try.
Wasting the farm system is dumb.
Don't try. So you're in favor of not trying. What you're in favor of.
I'm in favor of trying for next year. This is not the time to try. You have to pick it.
Oh, yeah. Not the time to try. You're 8 games up in the division, and you're trying
and
to come out of a slump.
They're not going to make it.
See, George, you're a prisoner of the moment is what you are. They're playing like garbage. Everybody agrees with you, but they're not this bad. They're not.
Yeah.
You know they're not
and
this
they're not
bad.
They're not this good either.
Okay, well, they're somewhere in between, so you would be truly not doing your job if you don't try to improve on what you can improve about. And there's the other thing. You said they're 6 pieces away? Maybe.
Yeah.
But every team in baseball has a need, a flaw. So what are you going to do? Just do nothing about it? What the hell? Let's go to war. See, George, I appreciate the call. I just totally disagree.
So what do you want them to do, Rieger?
I want them to be aggressive as F. I want them to trade for pieces that can help them win a World Series.
Okay.
I want to go straight to the ALDS and not the wild card. I want to, it's crazy, have success. And that's what good GMs do,
Rieger,
or president of baseball
ops. You know what, Jeff? That's great. It's all well and good. I would also like to have sex every day.
You don't?
You can't always get what you want.
Why not? It's a good Rolling Stones song.
Okay.
So wait, I'm sorry here.
Rico, did I make you uncomfortable?
Roberts.
Wait a second. So Rico asked me what I want them to do. My answer is try. And you're saying, you can't do it.
Rieger, I don't know. Apparently, you see this team from doing something totally different than what they've always done. They've never done this. So why are you expecting something different?
That's not right true, now? Though. They did it when Dombrowski was the GM.
Is he the GM?
No.
Okay. You've moved on. You have a new daddy now, okay?
Just saying.
He's not there anymore.
Are you good
new
with
new rules
it?
Of the house.
248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. Are you good with it? Are you good with this way moving forward, which is pretty conservative at the trade deadline, which is, week from yesterday. 97 won the ticket.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Okay. By the way, a lot of people like David's drop. He wants to have sex every day. But consider him a minus 500. They're considering him a minus 500 for your the Valeni and Rico Invitational next year. It's not bad.
Somebody else would have to grab that because it's not going to be a drop.
I'll grab it. Kenny, can you tell me how to do it? I'll grab it. 248-539-9797. The ticket text, the exact same number. If you want to give us a call, Evan Petzold and Cody Stavenhagen pretty much writing the same exact article saying the Tigers are going to be rather conservative at the trade deadline. If that turns out to be the case, and maybe it won't, but if it turns out to be the case, are you good with it? And early on, seems like a lot of people are. I'm rather not.
Rieger, and I think you're coming from a position of strength because yes, they've hit a slump, but they're still winning their division. And let's face it, the Guardians won't be playing this lights out for the rest of the season.
Sure.
And let's just say the Tigers just get to playing 500 ball to end the season. You're going to win your division. And now you're in the playoffs and now you wait to see what happens. But I think the way this organization goes, they have a plan. Their plan is working. Why deviate from the plan? Why sacrifice what we think is going to be a long-term solution for something that'll just make you happy?
Yeah.
And by you, I mean you.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. Come on. Me? I'm the only guy that wants to make moves. I'm the only one. Hi, my name is Jeff Rieger. I'm the only one in Metro Detroit that wants a parade. I'm the only one that wants to watch the Tigers in the World Series. Yeah. Hi, I'm the only guy. Come on. It's ridiculous. It's hysterical.
Wow.
Well, you are leading your division by 8 games.
I think he's trying to be funny.
Oh, well, he agrees with me.
Yeah, unclench your fist. He's your side.
I'm just ready to yell at
Noah
anybody.
Noah walked into the room and you punched him.
Sorry, no, I apologize. You're a great man.
On,
continue.
Jeff. You're spot on. Like, I don't understand the point of waiting. When's the right time? When's the right time, Scott? Like, what are we doing? Like, we're going to wait for when we're the best team in baseball. That's right now. Spend. Trade.
Yeah, and
doesn't
it's not even about spending. Like, I heard guys call up Karsh, and they were saying, well, you know, Chris Illich, this is his fault. I don't think this is his fault. I don't think Chris Illich cares if you bring in a little more money via a rental. Chris Illich wants to win the World Series because look at all the home gates you get. Look at all the money you make, right? So, like, I don't believe this is an owner thing. I think this is the president of baseball ops philosophy. I just happen to disagree with it.
We're not good enough right now. We might as well just not even try.
Right.
Just wait for all these prospects to come up, and we'll try then when we have the best record in baseball then in the future.
Which may never happen
Noah,
again.
And Noah, I guess I think that this best record in baseball kind of snuck up on them. They have it. They didn't try to get this, but, man, they're not a team that's going to go out there and just – they don't want to add money to the payroll. They kind of want to do things their way, Noah. I agree with you. I thought that they should have made a move a long time ago, but – when you sit back and look, that's just not who they are.
No, I'm sorry for yelling at you. I hope you can forgive me.
No, you're not.
Maybe, Jeff. I'll think about it.
Think about it. Call me back. Yeah, take care.
You're a very mean person.
I'm not mean.
Yeah.
I'm emotional. Yeah. I think you should be more emotional. I question your emotion. Okay. That's what I say. Let's go to Julian. Yeah, that guy's emotional. You imagine that guy's off. He comes back on Monday. If you think I'm emotional, what do you think Costa's going to sound like on Monday?
Oh, he already tweeted it out. He already tweeted out some stuff. Oh, I can't wait till I'm back. I can speak on this. Like, how about you stay on vacation? We'll talk to you on Monday.
Here's Costa.
Costa's that one guy. He's kind of like Stoney. He cannot unplug on vacation.
Bruh.
Like, no way.
You know what, David? I'd rather that than his vacation outfit.
Fair.
That's a good point. But he can do both.
No, he can't. Because when he went to Hawaii, it was like, Jim, nobody needs to see your banana hammock.
You think Jim's wife is like, we're on vacation. Stop tweeting about Scott Harris.
She's right. She's probably like, you know what? Why don't you just go out and have an affair? Leave social media alone.
Yes.
Go do something else. Like, can you just do something normal?
Why don't you just go out and have an affair? Costa's wife would be happier with that than being so obsessed with Scott Harris.
Oh, my God. Are you back on X again? Oh.
Is that the drop?
Well.
We got it?
There we go.
David. Or did he just duplicate it?
No, I think. Well, there you go.
That might win the tournament.
There's Dave.
Dude, no, you can't do that. That's a flag. You can't do that to my man back here, dude. That's wholly unacceptable.
Oh, that combination of drops, that's going to win the drop tournament. Oh, that's phenomenal. All right, let's go to Julian. You're on the ticket. What's the word, Julian? How are you?
Gentlemen, top of the afternoon to you. Thanks for having me on the show.
You as well, man.
So I'm going to preface my points by saying that I am not a baseball guy. I do follow baseball, but I guess, Rico, as you would know, I like to call in, and hockey is more so my bread and butter.
This is true.
Iserman seems like a lot like Harris right now.
I am going to answer the question, what should the Tigers do, not what will they do, because I do agree with Rico on what will they do, but, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Jeff, I agree with you in what they should do. And the reason I agree with you is in sports, I think we can all agree more often than not, when teams are expected to win, when teams are expected to find success, more often than not, they don't. If we look at like the total sample size of maybe all four major sports and all teams that, you know, get picked to win preseason or get hot early on, et cetera. So I look at this season as maybe a little bit of lightning in the bottle. maybe a little bit of kind of taking a page out of the Lions book and the way the Lions finished that season where they beat Green Bay last game of the season and then just started to go on a tear there afterwards. Maybe the Tigers are a little bit in that sense where they had an incredible finish last year, unprecedented, and kind of broke all the stats of baseball. And now they're playing extremely well. They're a little bit of a slump. So I feel that maybe not to the degree of empty the coffers, blow up the farm system, not to that extent.
Sure.
But whatever budget or moves they had envisioned, you got to go well above that. Because these kind of seasons, especially in a sport like baseball, I feel do not come along very often.
Well, Julian.
So I'll let you guys chime in on that. And then before I hang up, I have a CQ for both of you guys.
Good. Critical question.
Okay. Yeah, so the CQ I have for both of you guys, and then I got a part B for you, Jeff, is what's the pick on the series against the Jays? Transparency, I'm a Toronto fan, Leafs fan, Jays fan, et cetera.
Leafs fan, too.
So that's the question for both of you guys. Yeah. And then, Jeff, for you, just because I know how you feel, what would be worse for you, for the Leafs to win the Stanley Cup or for the Jays to win the World Series?
No, Leafs, for sure.
Oh,
absolutely. Leafs.
Julian, this man... Jeff has crazy obsessions.
Yeah.
And this ranks.
I know. I heard him yesterday, too. It was incredible.
This may be his worst obsession ever, that he follows Leafs hockey shows and he just.
I do. I listen to Toronto radio. But no, Julian, if every Leafs fan was as nice as you, I wouldn't have a problem with the Leafs. No, I just don't like their fans, minus Julian. Julian's a very nice man.
I think, Jeff, you've unfortunately been exposed to what I like to call like the culty side of Leafs Nation.
I don't like that.
Very culty. You know, I'm not a fan of those people. But there's a lot of sensical Toronto fans. Trust me. There's a big fan base. There's a lot of people like me. What makes me laugh though is when Jeff's doing, you know, whether it's his show or filling in, Rico, it's the out of left field Toronto hate. And I laugh at it. I mean, I don't get offended, but that's to me like the funniest thing is you guys will be talking about who knows what, nothing, and out of left field, whether it's anti-Leaf, anti-Toronto, it's hilarious.
Julian, let me let you know his other worst obsession. Yeah. I have no idea.
What's that?
Okay, so you hate Leafs fans.
And Michigan State basketball too.
Yeah. MSU basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, those are my two.
MSU is down 4-0 at the beginning of the game. Rieger sends me a text. Oh, buddy. It's 4-0,
yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have. You hate Michigan.
No, but you, like, literally you have texted me. The score would be 4-0.
I think that's a little of an exaggeration.
Rieger, don't make me go find that text.
Go find that text. Go find that text.
I'm like, Rieger, it's literally in the first 2 minutes of the game.
Also, Jeff, low-hanging fruit for you for the Leafs because they don't win anything. That's like I laugh at people who hate the Cowboys. Well, they don't win anything. They haven't won anything in a very long time.
I understand. I just like that they lose everything. I just like that their fans, every year, they line up to get kicked yet again.
Kenny, you know what the funny thing is?
Oh, no, it's not.
Kenny, I keep forgetting. Like, you are young. Like, the Cowboys were the Patriots.
Yeah.
They were everything. They won everything. And they just ticked you off because they did it and they did victory laps around you.
But the Leafs were an original six team. They're a historic franchise in this league. But you know what? They haven't won anything in decades and decades and decades.
The 60s. Yes. All right. 248-539-9797. The Tiger stuff is out there if you want to hit on it. Are you as angry as me? Allegedly, we're led to believe Scott Harris is going to be pretty conservative at the trade deadline as the Tigers try to take on the Blue Jays today and actually get a win. 97 won the ticket. 97 won the ticket. Little football. Football today, David.
Now, every team has now reported for training camp. So let's get to a list here of players, coaches, GMs under the most pressure going into the 2025 season. Let's first start at a quarterback position. Let's start with J.J. McCarthy. Would you agree he's under a ton of pressure this season?
Absolutely, he is. I mean, for multiple reasons. One, he was a high draft pick. You never want to – I think they moved up to get him. So you want to see success because of that, too. This team is loaded with weapons, David. And three, Sam Darnold came in here and won 14 games, and he's looked at to be a career backup. So it's unfortunate for that young man, because if you can't duplicate that, that means that they made the wrong choice and let the wrong quarterback go.
No, Rico, I'm with you. I might not be with you about the Tiger stuff, but I'm with you about this. Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Jalen Naylor, TJ, the big Hockenson. I mean, these are all elite premier players, and now JJ's got the keys to the car. If he can't succeed in 1 year when their Super Bowl window is pretty wide open, they're going to go out and find somebody else that can succeed. They get a good D, too.
Next on the list, a running back. Plays in New York, plays for the Jets. His name is Breece Hall. Here's why I bring it up. Because last year, or this past offseason rather, Najee Harris was the most expensive running back in free agency. 1 year, $5.3 million. Breece Hall hasn't looked well in 2023 after he returned from injury. His first two carries, 26 yards, then 83 yards. Has done nothing since. Pressure for Breece Hall?
David, I mean, I don't think it's fair. I think it's pressure for the entire New York Jets team. It's why they fired everybody. It's why their offense really has been sputtering for the longest. They banked everything on Aaron Rodgers, and when he got hurt two games plays in, they never really recovered. So I can't blame it all on him. I think that he's just a product of an inept offense.
So it's a little unfair. Their offense stinks. I think, if anything, pressure is on Aaron Glenn, but he's taken over a team where Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor is his quarterback.
It's going to be Fields.
I'm not even sure that there's pressure at all. Like, is anybody really expecting the Jets to win? And I know people always expect them to be a disaster. So I guess a little pressure on Aaron Glenn, but Breece Hall specifically, I don't know if I feel that for him.
So we have our first coach on the list, and we just talked about this. The Dallas Cowboys, their coach, Brian Schottenheimer, is he under a ton of pressure, or does it really matter in Dallas?
The coach has been interchangeable in Dallas. Honestly, David, the last one that they really had that had a voice was Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, that Jimmy Johnson, who just retired from doing Fox pregame shows. Because it's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones runs the team. And Jimmy was the last guy that stood up to him. Schottenheimer will come, he'll go. He's really got no say-so. Try to not to embarrass us, and maybe can you win us some playoff games? That's their new bar now. From America's team to can you win us a playoff game? So I don't think he has pressure, because I think he understood the assignment when he got the job.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, Jerry Jones is one of the most, loyal guys you'll ever see. He should fire coaches. He decides to stick with coaches. Last year, the Cowboys were 7-10. So it's not like there's not room to grow. As long as they're better, I think Schottenheimer's going to be fine. And even if they're not better, Jones will stick with them another year. Doesn't it seem like, how many times was Jason Garrett supposed to be fired? And then they just brought him back, or Mike McCarthy, and they just brought him back. So I don't think he's in jeopardy or on the hot seat, despite the fact that they play in a tough-ass division. The Commanders and Eagles are pretty good.
This next one here, a lot of people, if you don't really watch or pay attention enough to the offensive line, you may not know his name. But his name is Braxton Jones, who is the left tackle for the Chicago Bears. They've gone out, upgraded other positions, did not really upgrade this position. He's been hurt in his career. And this past season, guys like Dan Moore Jr., Jalen Moore, not that good tackles, still got north of $20 million. He's a free agent. How much pressure is on him to actually produce this year and protect Caleb Williams?
And you're saying he's a free agent at the end of the year?
He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Oh, well, I mean, this is it. Yeah, he has a ton of pressure for two reasons. One, because you got Ben Johnson, because you got Caleb Williams, and because you have this offense, if you go out there and you do your job and you become that guy, the second reason, you're going to get paid. So, yes, you screw up this year and you'll be in the CFL, the XFL, or whatever you call it. You do your job, you solidify that position, and you'll be a Bear for life.
Yeah, the only pressure, I think, is the difference in contracts he might sign. He's a left tackle in the league. If he doesn't play for the Bears, he's going to play somewhere else. No. However, I think the pressure in Chicago is Ben Johnson, who apparently already seems frustrated because Caleb Williams might not be on the same page with him at practice. Caleb Williams has a ton of pressure. Yes, Braxton Jones has pressure because he has to protect Caleb. But I don't know if he's... It's also a contract year, so usually guys play well during contract years. I don't know if I look at it as a massive amount of pressure. Maybe not as much as the other guys you named.
The next coach on this list is Brian Daboll for the New York Giants. Did not have a good year last year. Is it over for him if he does the same?
Well, you know what? For our guy, David, yeah, he's a dead man walking. Let's just call it what it is. Mike's not here, but I don't see how they turn this around in a division that you have. You're looking at Russell Wilson keeping the place warm until Jackson Dart is ready. He's going to be gone, David. Let's just put it like that. He won't be there. So the pressure for him is, do you just go ahead and get fired mid-season, or do you prolay the inevitable and get fired at the end of the season on Black Friday or Black Monday?
Don't you feel he's Matt Eberflus?
Yeah.
He feels
You know what? Good call.
Oh, thank you. He feels like Matt Eberflus. Like, you going into the inevitable camp, it's going to happen. There's very little chance that he gets to stick around, but it is
funny.
Does
he have that meltdown game like Eberflus have here in Thanksgiving where you're like, and there it is.
Well, it's probably best for you to get fired during the season. At least you don't have to prepare for as many games, right? You're getting paid regardless. No, but I agree. I mean, like, his first year was great. They made the playoffs, and they beat the Vikings, and life was awesome. And then it's really gone downhill. But I've heard Mike mention this. I know you've mentioned this. The quarterback room is amazing for the Giants. It's so good.
From the media standpoint,
yes. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Jackson Dart, Tommy DeVito. And Tommy DeVito's agent. Wow, the quote's coming out of that room.
If it was up to me, Jameis would win the job. Just for what he has to say afterwards. Pre-game and post-game.
He's a very motivational guy.
Right.
Eat the W's. I like Jameis.
I do, too.
He's awesome.
I love it because he's entertaining. He's fun. And he kind of knows that he sucks. You know, he kind of reminds me, he's the modern-day Dan Orlovsky. I'm a backup, but I'm just going to have fun and know eventually I'm going to be in the media one day.
Who's the Jameis Winston of 97 won the ticket? Kind of knows they suck. Go ahead.
Go ahead, David.
Let's close it out with the only GM on this list, and it is the Atlanta Falcons GM, Terry Fontenot. And everyone knew what they did in the draft. They needed defensive ends. They needed an edge rusher. They drafted two, James Pierce Jr., Jalen Walker. We all know the scenario with Kirk Cousins and their team. Michael Penix is going to be the starter. But there's pressure. Has to be a ton on their GM in Atlanta, right?
It is. You had to, but it goes back to, it's systemic. Your offense was bad. You had all of these weapons and you chose to, you know what, it kind of goes back to yesterday. We were talking about that Ohio State game. You had all the weapons, but you chose to do things that these weapons can't do. And that was Atlanta last year where you had, you know, whether it was London, whether it was Bijan, like you had people out there and it was like nothing. So, yes, you made a lot of moves. I think a lot of this depends on what Michael Penix does. And if this doesn't work, yeah, he will be let go because he put all of this together. He did the grocery shopping.
So he was hired in 2021. So this is year 5 on the gig, right? He already kind of screwed up the whole Kirk Cousins thing and Michael Penix thing. He gets Cousins, then he trades up to get Penix. And even though I kind of dig their offense, and every year I think to myself, the Falcons are the sleeper this year. If it don't work this year, they definitely blow it up and go in a different direction. But yeah, Penix can save him. I mean, that offense can save him.
Rieger, they have weapons. I said it last year, and I said, if Atlanta had a guy like Ben Johnson running their offense,
yeah,
Atlanta would have been in the playoffs. Atlanta would have been seen as a serious threat because the thing that I liked about Ben Johnson was he took everybody's strengths and weaknesses, and he managed them well. Atlanta didn't do that.
Do we think Ben Johnson's going to succeed?
I do.
Do you? David?
Yes.
Interesting. I'm torn. I don't quite know.
Why not? Why wouldn't he succeed?
I think some guys are better off to be
as coordinators.
Yeah, and I also didn't love him and his crap talking when he got the job against the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, you know what? Stop.
What?
You can't have it both ways. Because you loved it when he was a Lion.
No, and I hear you. I feel like he
should. But now he's someplace else, and you're like, oh, I don't like that.
You know how Patricia tried to be Belichick?
Right.
I feel like Ben's trying to be Dan a little bit. And I don't know that it's going to work. I just have my doubts. All right. That's Inside Football Today. 97 on the ticket.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.